رب علی آله مزد رسالت تو بود، رب علی آله مزد رسالت تو بود، فخر علی همین بود که دانش آموز تو بود. یا رحمت الله، یا رحمت للعالمین، یا رحمت للعالمین، یا رحمت للعالمین، یا رحمت للعالمین، یا ابا الزهراء سید البطحاء اسیر عشق تمام دنیا، سحر شبهای آرزویی به بهار دل تو رنگ و بویی، عالم و آدم گدای تو، آیه و ذکر لبم تو هستی، یا امام صادق آب روی مذهبم تو هستی، شده دلم مبتلای تو، امام صادق یا ابن الزهرا، امام صادق زهرا، امام صادق یا ابن الزهرا، نغمه تو گفت و گوی قلبم، سایه دستات به روی قلبم، هرچی که دارم برای تو، هرچی که دارم برای تو، امام صادق یا ابن الزهرا، امام صادق یا ابن الزهرا، یا ابن الطاها، یا ابن یاسین، یا مولا. I think my time is over. We have much to say, but inshallah we are going to get benefited with more programs. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Thank you, brother. MashaAllah. Please recite the loud salawat. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I now request for brother Asif Abbas Raza. Oh, okay. I think brother Asif is not here, so brother Misam Musavi.
اکرام، سب سے پہلے ولادت بسعادت سرور کائنات آپ سبھی کو مبارک ہو، پڑھتا نعرہ صلوات، نعت کے چند اشعار پیش خدمت سماعت فرمائیے گا، ایک اور صلوات پڑھ لیں اللہ تعالیٰ،
مصطفیٰ 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 مصطفیٰ، تذکرہ پکا مصطفیٰ، کر رہا ہے خدا مصطفیٰ، کر رہا ہے خدا مصطفیٰ، سارے قرآن میں جا بجا، سارے دار قرآن میں جا بجا سارے قرآن میں جا بجا ذکر ہے آپ کا مصطفیٰ ذکر ہے آپ کا مصطفیٰ ذوق مدحت مجھے دے دیا ذوق مدحت مجھے دے دیا شکریہ آپ کا مصطفیٰ شکریہ آپ کا مصطفیٰ لب کھلے جو ثنا کے لیے لب کھلے جو ثنا کے لیے دے دعا سیدہ مصطفیٰ دے دعا سیدہ مصطفیٰ
شعر دیکھیے
میں بھی سجدے کروں ہے جہاں میں بھی سجدے کروں ہے جہاں آپ کے نقش پا مصطفیٰ آپ کے نقش پا مصطفیٰ کہہ دیا خود یہ اللہ نے کہہ دیا خود یہ اللہ نے تو محب ہے میرا مصطفیٰ تو محب ہے میرا مصطفیٰ ہو درود و سلام آپ پر سید انبیاء مصطفیٰ سید انبیاء مصطفیٰ
خاص توجہ اس شعر پر
بولا خالق یہ معراج میں بولا خالق یہ معراج میں عرش پر یا بھی جا مصطفیٰ عرش پر آ بھی جا مصطفیٰ
اور اسی کے تسلسل میں یہ شعر دیکھیے
دیکھ کر یہ پکارے ملا دیکھ کر یہ پکارے ملا دیکھ کر یہ پکارے ملا مرحبا مرحبا مصطفیٰ مرحبا مرحبا مصطفیٰ
مختار کا شعر دیکھیے
تجھے کو میسم ملے گا سکون تجھے کو میسم ملے گا سکون تجھ کو میسم ملے گا سکون ورد کر مصطفیٰ مصطفیٰ ورد کر مصطفیٰ مصطفیٰ تذکرہ آپ کا مصطفیٰ کر رہا ہے خدا مصطفیٰ 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 مصطفیٰ
بلند نعرہ صلوات
Again, mashallah, that's brother Misam's his own kalam. So recite aloud salawat for him. I know we have few more Urdu reciter, but unfortunately, I apologize because of the timing. I now request Maulana Abbas Elia, please, to come on the podium and address them. I will also request all of you to please come forward so that we will not have a gap in the front. Ma salala.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق صلوات Tabrik and congratulations to all of you respectable brothers and sisters as we are here to commemorate the birth anniversary of the most superior human and the greatest messenger and the highest prophet ever sent, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that of our sixth Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq alayhim as-salatu wa salam. It's honestly very amazing to find the hard work done by the students of your school here and the projects that they have done, the efforts they have put into this project. I definitely feel obliged to appreciate our children, our youth, and obviously the credit definitely goes to your resident alim, Hajjat Islam al-Muslimin, Samahat Sayyid Maulana Sahab, who has been working hard for that establishment of this project of school. Please say aloud salawat for his long life and tawfiqat. And also another salawat for the principal, the teachers and the parents of these children who have been working hard for the Islamic upbringing of them. In my humble opinion, an Islamic school definitely is more important than a masjid in the West, and has much more wider benefits for our community. So this is something that I urge all of you to give importance and bring your children and work hard to make sure that this project is more and more successful in the future. Our Holy Prophet is born on the 17th of Rabiul Awwal in the holy city of Makkah, and on the occasion of his birth we find there were unprecedented events taking place, never happened before in the history of the earth, including the fact that all the thrones of all the kings and rulers went upside down on the time of the birth of the Prophet, and including all the idols present everywhere on the planet fell down on their faces, and the fire in the temple of silence, temple of fire of the Zoroastrians in Fars, in Persia, that fire which was extinguished for the last 1,000 years, that was lit for the last 1,000 years, got extinguished upon the birth of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like every other imam does the same, when he was born, he puts his palms over the ground. It's narrated widely about the sifat and attributes of the ma'sumeen, how they do the sajda, how they perform, they proclaim, they bear witness about the oneness of Allah and the risalat. And our imams do the witnesses of their wala'at, their imamat, one by one, each of those imams. The Prophet put his palms over the ground soon after his birth, close to the time of Fajr on a Friday when he was born, and he raised his head towards the sky, and his mother says a noor came out that spread everywhere and lit up everything. The noor that came out at that time entered into all the houses. Our Holy Prophet is so high in his status that he cannot be compared to anyone else, or no one else can be compared to His Highness. When you look at the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Tilka rusul fadlalna ba'dahum ala ba'd." So we learn in the light of the verse that not every messenger is equal in the status. Allah Himself has given fadilat and superiority to certain messengers over the rest. And when Prophet Nuh alayhi salam propagated for 950 years in his nation, and no one accepted the message of Tawheed and oneness of God, except a handful of people, precisely 880, because those who were aboard the ship of Prophet Nuh were 80 people. And finally, after the storm, when the boat landed and everyone get off the ship, that city in the history is called Madinatul Thamanin, the city of 80. So there were only 80 people aboard the ship. And so he did propagation for 950 long years. People used to make fun of Prophet Nuh, ridicule him. There's a constant tradition of humanity towards the messengers and representatives of Allah. They used to make fun of them, call them sahir, magician, a kazab, a liar. So Prophet Nuh finally cursed his own nation. And Quran mentions the curse of Prophet Nuh, where he said, Rabbi la tazar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyaran innaka in tazarhum yudhillu ibadaka wa la yalidu illa fajiran kafara. O my Lord, don't leave a single kafir on the face of earth. Don't leave any kafir on the face of earth. So he's cursing his nation after, you know, his propagation. And obviously the dua of a messenger is mustajab and accepted by Allah. And the storm came that you all know. Whereas when it comes to our Holy Prophet, we find that the Prophet says that مَا أُوذِيَ نَبِيٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أُوذِيتُ. No Prophet was tortured as much as I was tortured. And when some of the times when people used to throw rocks and stones at the Prophet, he ended up bleeding. Sometimes, some of the times he went on top of a mountain, somewhere in the mountain, taking refuge there away from those ignorance. And he was found at that time saying, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. O my Lord, guide my nation because they do not know. Instead of cursing his nation. We find that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is a very handsome individual, isn't it right? But when someone asks our beloved Prophet, are you more handsome or Yusuf? And he replies back that Yusuf was amlah wa ana asbah. That means Yusuf had more malahat, but I have more sabahat. And we obviously, we know that sabahat is better than malahat. So the looks of the Prophet is definitely, definitely superior than that of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. When it comes to Prophet Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi alayhi salam, we call him Shaykhul Anbiya, the second most superior messenger among all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have 124,000 prophets, isn't it right? And then we have the 313 who are Rasul, the messengers, which are higher in the status than the Prophet. And among them we have Ulul Azm, as commonly known by some, there are five Ulul Azm, but that's, you know, in some of the Ulama ul Kalam, Mutakallimeen, scholars of Ilm ul Aqaid say it's 18 Ulul Azm mentioned in Suratul An'am. Among those 18, there were five who were Sahibul Shar, Sahibul Sharia. So they are the five who were the greatest ones among those 18 Ulul Azm, according to that statement. So among those five, Prophet Ibrahim is the second after the Holy Prophet. He is definitely a very high messenger of Allah. And when you find in the Holy Quran the du'as of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he prays to Allah, and Allah is mentioning the du'as of Prophet Ibrahim. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْلَامِ. Protect me, prevent me and my children from worshipping the idols. This is the dua of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. When it comes to our messenger, he doesn't need to seek that kind of dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah has himself mentioned in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. That's a divine guarantee for the ismatun mutlaqa, the absolute infallibility of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Another dua of Prophet Ibrahim which Quran mentions is that he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waj'al li lisana sidqin fil akhirin, grant me an honorable mention in the later generations. Our Holy Prophet again doesn't need to seek that kind of dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah has himself said in the Holy Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, we have elevated for you your mention. The third dua of Prophet Ibrahim in the Holy Quran, he says, وَجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَسَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ, make me one of the inheritors of paradise. Prophet Ibrahim is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him one of the inheritors of paradise, Jannat. Our Holy Prophet doesn't need to seek this dua again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has already said, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah wa Abuhuma Khayrun Minhuma. Hasan and Husayn are the two leaders of the youth of paradise, and their father is superior than them. We believe they are darajat and the prophets. They are not every prophet is on the same level. They are darajat and the messengers. They are darajat even among the a'imma alayhimu salam. Despite the fact we believe that awwaluna Muhammad wa akhiruna Muhammad wa awsatuna Muhammad wa kulluna Muhammad. How Allama Sayyid Abdullah Ash-Shubbar rahmatullah alayhi has narrated in Masabihul Anwar. It's a very articulate book of hadith, where Sayyid Abdullah Shubbar has gathered only the complex hadith of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, only the complex ones. Hadith of Ahlul Bayt are definitely common. Hadithana sa'bun mustas'ab la yatahammaluhu illa malakun muqarrab aw nabiyyun mursal aw abdun imtahana Allahu qalbahu lil iman. Our hadith are very complicated. No one can digest it except a Prophet who has been sent, or an angel who is close. So not every angel is muqarrab. I mean, even in the angels they are darajat. Those who angels which are close to Allah, or a mu'min whose soul has been tested for iman by Allah. Only them, they can understand our hadith, the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt. So he has narrated that despite the fact we believe that all of them are part of a nur, but having said that, we believe that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is superior than the rest of the 11 Imams. Because Prophet says, one of the long list of reasons is that the Prophet himself has said in his authentic narration, wa abuhuma khayrun minhuma, and their father is better than them. So, the sons of the Prophet are the leaders of the paradise. The hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ مِن نُورِ الْحُسَيْنِ. Allah created the paradise from the nur of Hussein. The whole paradise is created from the nur of the son of the Holy Prophet. He doesn't need to seek this dua from Allah, waj'alni min warasati jannati na'im, like Prophet Ibrahim did. So it is narrated that a person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said that Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, Allah and Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. Khalil, a friend, is inferior than Habib, a beloved. Our Prophet is Habibullah, beloved of Allah. So Khalil is inferior, a friend is inferior than the beloved. But Allah is mentioning the Khalil and friend in the Quran, but he did not mention the Habib and beloved. Look at the response of our sixth Imam. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has mentioned the servants of the Prophet, the followers of the Prophet to be Mahbub. You can understand how much Mahbub and beloved the Prophet himself is when his servants are considered to be Mahbub in the eyes of Allah. In other words, where Allah says, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you people love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will end up loving you. So Allah loves those who follow the footsteps of the Prophet. They are mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find our scholars, our mufassireen say, this is the extensive love of Allah towards the Prophet, that he has talked about all the parts of the body of the Prophet in the Holy Quran. This shows how much he is beloved. See, when you love somebody, you love everything of that person. You should love everything of that person. The one who deserves to be loved from the perspective of the ma'arif and high level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, the one who deserves to be loved, we must love everything of that person. So Allah also loves everything of the Prophet, and he is mentioning the parts of the body of the Prophet in Quran. Allah talks about the face of the Prophet. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. We see the turning of your face towards the heaven. Allah mentions the eyes of the Prophet. مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. The eyes of the Prophet did not turn astray, nor did it transgress. Allah talks about the hand of the Prophet. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Don't let your hand be tied up to your neck. Allah talks about the chest of the Prophet, where Allah says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Have we not expanded for you your breast? Allah talks about the back of the Prophet, where he says, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. And we removed away from you, removed away the burden that had burdened down your back. So, and all the attributes of his morality are mentioned in the Holy Quran, where Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Definitely you are on the exalted character. This is the status of the Prophet. When somebody asks Imam Ali alayhi salam, can you count the moral attributes of Rasulullah? Look at the question. And Amir Mumin alayhi salam replied back, no. He said, why? He only said, can you count the ni'mat of Allah? Allah has given so many ni'mat in this life, isn't it right? So many of the blessings of Allah that we enjoy in this life in dunya. He said, no, I can't. Imam Ali says, Allah says in the Holy Quran, mata'u dunya qaleel. Mata of dunya is less. So when you cannot count what is less, how can I count what Allah calls azim and great? When Allah says, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. So Prophet Prophets encountered three of the mushrikeen, Abu Jahl and Walid ibn Mughira and Shayba. And they came to the Prophet and said, you claim to be a messenger of Allah. What witnesses do you have? Who is there to witness for you? And Prophet replied back, Kullu shajarin wa madarin wa hajarin wa hashish. Every plantation and stone and tree. And so what Abu Jahl did, he picked up a bunch of rocks from the ground in his hand and he said, okay, here are the rocks. Are they ready to bear witness for you that you are the messenger? And the narration says, Prophet looked at the rocks and he said, Man ana, who am I? And the rock started to speak up loud and clear. Anta Rasulullah haqqan wa nabiyuhu al-Mustafa wa aminuhu al-Muzakka. You are the messenger of Allah truthfully and the prophet, the chosen prophet of God and his purified Amin and trustworthy person. But the arrogance of a person, istikbar and tughyan, doesn't allow you to surrender and submit. Isn't it right? The arrogance doesn't let you to submit. This is what we say to our mu'mineen as well. There's something which is very important that even our mu'mineen should remember. Isn't it right? Because Islam is not defined as we are born to such and such parents. That's not the best definition of Islam. The best definition of Islam is what Imam Ali al-Salam has defined. La ansibanna al-Islam nisbatan. Definitely I'm going to define Islam in a way. No one can define Islam before me or after me in a better definition except if he defines in the same way. And then Imam Ali said, al-Islamu huwa al-Taslim. والتسليم هو التصديق والتصديق هو اليقين واليقين هو الأداء والأداء هو العمل إن المؤمن أخذ دينه عن ربه ولم يأخذه عن رأيه. That's the definition of Islam which Imam Ali defines. So Islam is the essence of submission towards Haqq. This is how we define Islam. Even some of our fellow mu'mineen don't have the essence of submission towards the truth. You tell them the truth, they're not ready to accept it. They show stubbornness. Is that right? So our scholars say we need to put ourselves in the shoes, in the place of the mushrikeen of Makkah when Prophet was standing at the Holy Kaaba, when Prophet was there in Makkah and guiding and propagating about Islam towards the idol worshippers of Makkah. And they used to respond back to the Prophet, Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muqtadun. That's how we found our grandfathers to do. We are going to continue what they used to do. In other words, so are we going to, we would have given the similar response because of our stubbornness? Or we would have accepted the haq if we were in their place? Every moment should put himself in the shoes of those mushrikeen. Because Islam, Imam Ali defines, is taslim, essence of submission towards haq. Whenever you listen to haq, from whomsoever, whenever, wherever, you should be ready to accept it. If you are, then you are a Muslim in the dictionary of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He did not say a Muslim is a person who is born to such and such parents. So coming back to the point, Abu Jahl did not accept after he saw the rocks bearing witness about the Prophet. He said that I'm going to do something to, you know, get rid of the fitna of the yatim and orphan of Abu Talib. So what he did is he grabbed the stone of the handmill. In old days they used to, you know, grind the wheat with the handmill. Used to have a big stone. Isn't it right? They used to move like that to grind the wheat. So he grabbed the stone of the handmill, very heavy thing, over his head, went on the top over the roof of the room of the Prophet in the middle of the night. When Prophet is going to wake up for the Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, the night prayers, he had in his mind he's going to throw the stone over the head to kill the Prophet. He did the same. He went on top of the roof. Prophet woke up in the night. He came out. Abu Jahl is about to drop the stone on the Prophet. Allah sent Jibreel. Jibreel strikes his wing on the stone and the wing has a hole in the middle and the stone of the handmill moves, slides down into the neck of Abu Jahl and he starts screaming, "Oh Muhammad, save me!" Prophet looked up on the rooftop and he saw this guy standing in the middle of the night. And this scenario taking place, and he said that, "Oh La'een, do you think if Muhammad is asleep, if I am sleeping, my Lord is also sleeping?" So look at the arrogance of these people. He says to the Prophet, "Just for one more time, please forgive me." Prophet took his amama off the head and holding in his hand, and he prays, look at the mercy of the Prophet. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, let me kill your enemy on your roof. He said, just for one more time for my sake. Because of the dua of the Holy Prophet, this is the mercy of the Holy Prophet, that because of the mercy and the dua of the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave. Please say salawat. So Rasulullah is the one who has been taken to the Mi'raj. When Prophet Musa went on the Mount Tur, the Holy Quran says, Kharra Musa sa'iqan. Musa fell down unconscious. We're talking about the Madhmoon Riwayat. So, when the tajalli, the reflection, the nur, the flash of the nur of Allah was shown, Musa alayhi salam could not tolerate. He fell down unconscious. Although he used to, you know, Musa alayhi salam used to talk with Allah min wara'il hijab, from behind the curtain, not without the hijab, and used to talk on the Mount Tur, not on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where our Holy Prophet was taken to the arsh of Allah. There are certain sects of Islam who deny the mi'rajun jismaniyun, the physical ascension of the Holy Prophet. Whereas we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, believe that the mi'raj and ascension was physical, not only spiritual. Prophet has said, Sallaytu al-Isha al-Akhira indakum wa Sallaytu al-Witra tahta al-Arsh. I prayed the last Isha prayers, you know, indakum, next to you. And I prayed al-Witr, the Nafila, the Wutaira, tahta al-Arsh, under the Arsh of Allah. So if it was just a Mi'raj, a Ruhani, the spiritual ascension, that's not a big deal if it was like that. Our scholars of tafsir say anybody can see the Jannat and Jahannam and some of those things in the dream. That's possible. That's not, would not have been a fadilat. The fadilat and superiority of the Prophet is that he was taken physically towards the Mi'raj. And so high that now that Prophet has crossed the seven heavens. Asmane haftgane. As-sama as-sabi'a. When he crosses the seventh heaven and he reaches As-Sidratul Muntaha, that tree which is the residence of Jibreel, Sayyid al-Malaika, the head of the angels. And now Jibreel knocks at the curtain, first curtain, which is called, you know, Hijab al-Zahab, the curtain of gold. Jibreel knocks at the curtain and the angel behind the curtain says, who's there? And Jibreel says, it's me, Jibreel, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with me. Prophet says, we were not there. The beauty of the hadith of the Prophet is that the Ravi and narrator is the Prophet himself. So there is not a slightest doubt about the authenticity of the hadith. We were not there, he's the one who is telling us. So Prophet said, a hand appeared and grabbed my hand and took me towards the other side. And I said to Jibreel, are you going to leave me here? And Jibreel replied back, لَوْ دَنَوْتُ أُمُّلَةً لَحْتَرَقْتُ. If I move forward a finger, the size of a finger, that means even a bit, if I move forward a bit, I would be burnt alive. That's the limit of Jibreel's nuraniyat. His nur can only take him to that level, not higher than that. That's his limit. So now Prophet says, the angel of the curtain of gold, Hijab al-Zahab, knocks the next curtain. And someone asks from that side, who's there? The next hijab is Hijab al-Lu'lu, the curtain of Lu'lu, curtain of the pearl. And someone asked from that side, who's there? And this angel said, this is the angel of Hijab, the curtain of gold, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is with me. And a hand came and took him to the other side, and so forth, our beloved Prophet was taken, you know, through 70 of those hijabat and curtains. And finally to a rafraful akhbar, the green rafraf, and taken from there towards the arsh of Allah, the divine throne. And Prophet says, when I had a look at the arsh, everything thing that I saw became lowly in my eyes. Look at the azamat of the Arsh of Allah. And Prophet says, he saw on the pillar, As-Saqul Ayman, some of the narration says, the right pillar of the Arsh. Prophet saw on the right pillar of the Arsh, it was written that Hussein is the misbah and torch of guidance and the boat of success. This is the azamat of Rasulullah. Our scholars of tafsir say Prophet Musa was shown the tajalli and the flash of the nur of Allah and he fell down unconscious because he himself was the one who went there to the Mount of Tur. That's the difference that our scholars of tafsir define. Whereas the Holy Prophet, when it comes to the Holy Prophet, he's the one who was taken by Allah himself. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. It's Allah who took him. وصفة الرب لا تغلب. Scholars of tafsir say that Allah's attribute, Allah's action can never be overcome by anyone or anything. That's the difference. So when Prophet returns back, they ask the Prophet, thank you, that what about the surprising things that you have seen? Please say salawat. Tell us about some of the surprising things that you saw there. And Prophet said, I saw an angel, half of his existence, half of him was made of fire and the other half was made of ice. Neither the fire was melting down the ice, nor the ice was extinguishing the fire. And the zikr of Allah, the phrase of remembrance, every existence has a zikr, isn't it right? Every single existence, not just the humans. Quran says, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. There isn't a thing except that it glorifies the praise, you know, of its Lord, but you people don't understand. That's what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadahullah used to say in tafsir, every existence is musabbih and hamid and abid and zakir, is doing the tasbih of Allah, is engaged in doing the hamd and praise of Allah. It's hamid and it's zakir. It's engaged in the zikr and remembrance of Allah. And it's abid, doing the worship of Allah. So every mawjood, every existence, not just the humans and jinns, every particle of the universe is musabbih and hamid and zakir and abid. We don't need to learn no animal rights and plantation rights from nobody. Everyone needs to learn it from the Holy Prophet Muhammad and Amirul Mu'mineen alayhimu salatu wa ala alayhimu salatu wa salam. Our urafa don't even pluck up a leaf of a tree without any justifiable reason. Why in the world do you deprive a leaf from doing the zikr and remembrance of Allah? They don't even pluck the leaf of a tree without a justifiable reason. We don't need to learn no rights from nobody. They need to learn from us. So what I was saying to you is that so the Prophet said that the zikr of that angel was Ya Muallifan bain as-salj wa an-nar. O you, addressing to Allah, O you who combines the fire and the ice. Alif bayna ibadik al mu'mineen, combine between the hearts of your mu'min servants. This was the zikr that the angel was saying. So we find that, you know, that's what we say to our communities, our brothers and sisters. Don't sell your iman, don't sell your faith for the sake of your jobs. There are people who, you know, Maulana, if you call me, there's a guy in LA who said to me, Maulana, if you call me at the workplace, please don't call me Muhammad, call me Mo. I said, no way. If you want me to call you, I'm going to call you Muhammad, or I'm never going to call you. The choice is yours. You can't even defend Islam for the namesake. What else could you do for Islam? You tried saying to a Jewish person, hello, Mr. Benjamin Steinberg, what if I call you Baqir? And you hear his response, what he going to say to you? The problem, brothers and sisters, is not with anyone else. The problem is with our own people, some of our own people. When you don't realize your Islamic identity and you don't hold respect for your own Islamic identity, no one else can learn to respect you. They were saying to me, you know, people having Muhammad and Ali are being stopped in the airports. And I said to some of my community people that if that's the case, then every Muslim whose name does not have the word Muhammad in it, I suggest every Muslim to put the name and add the name Muhammad into his name. That's the right way to deal with the matter. So, Prophet Musa was commanded by Allah to go to the water and strike his asa. And he went there and he struck the asa over the water. And the water opened up till the bed of the water was visible. And there was a stone. Allah commanded Prophet Musa to strike his asa and stick over the stone. And he did. And the stone opens up and there's another second stone inside the first bigger stone. Allah said to Prophet Musa to strike his asa and stick over the second stone. And Prophet Musa did. And the second tiny stone opens up. And inside the second stone is the blind tiny insect. The habitat of that insect is inside the two stones on the seabed. And the zikr and phrase of remembrance. I said to you earlier, every existence has a zikr and phrase of remembrance. The narration says, the zikr and phrase of remembrance of that tiny blind insect inside the two stones in the seabed. The zikr and phrase of remembrance of that tiny insect was that, oh my Lord, who did not forget providing me the risk and sustenance, me, the blind insect inside two stones, how would you forget the risk of the humankind? That was the zikr of that. Please say salawat. So, we're not here to sell our iman. Nini Maulana, hum to yahan rehne ke liye aaye hain. Some people end up saying, oh, Maulana, we came here to reside. Well, we also came here to reside. We didn't come here to get killed. But at what cost? At the cost of selling out your faith and values? No way. We are not here to sell our values. We are not statues. You know, it takes a human. You need to be a human to take sides. It's human to take sides. Isn't it right? Unless if a person is a statue, then it would be indifferent. Carefree, careless behavior. So, coming back to the point, Prophet saw on the Mi'raj, bunch of people were there who had tayyib, tahir, pure, nice risk and food right in front of them, but they were eating garbage and trash. And the Prophet was told, these are those people of your ummah who had an option to earn the halal, but they opted for the haram. So the batin and hidden reality of the haram food is nothing but garbage. This is what the Prophet saw. Prophet used to live a life of haqiqat. Isn't it right? So he's Ahlul Yaqeen. He sees the batin, malakutu samawat wal ardh. So now, Prophet says, I saw an angel And he had several thousand hands, and in every hand there were several thousand fingers, and he was counting. And I asked about that, and I was told that he's counting the raindrops. And I said to him, "Do you know how many drops of rain have fallen down?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, not just that, but I can even tell you which of the drops of rain have fallen on a barren land, which of the drops have fallen on a constructed land, which drops have fallen on a graveyard." Basically, he's keeping tabs. He has complete comprehensive information about every single raindrop and the complete history where it has fallen down. And then he says, "There's one thing which even I am unable to calculate, and that is that if a bunch of people of your ummah gather together and send salawat on you, I am unable to count the sawab." The hadith says, "Irfa'u aswatakum bis-salawati alayya fa innaha tudhhibu an-nifaq." Raise your voices when reciting salawat on me because it removes hypocrisy. So we need to say the salawat with a loud voice.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Prophet says, "I saw an angel sitting," the angels of the angels sitting, delivering lecture up there. 10,000 people in saf, in ranks in front of him. 10,000 delivering a lecture. Who can deliver a lecture in front of angels? An alim. Isn't that right? So you must be a scholar, knowledgeable person, delivering lecture for 10,000 angels. Prophet, you know, had the highest morality. No one ever took a lead over the Prophet in saying salam. Isn't that right? He always used to say salam, even towards the children, ahead of anyone else. Prophet said salam on that angel. The angel replied back, but he did not stand up in the respect of the Prophet. He did not stand up in the respect of the Prophet. He just replied back to the salam. You know, Allah disliked this behavior. And immediately Allah sent a message to that angel. "Do you know who said salam to you? I have created you and everything else for his sake. Now you have to stand up and do nothing but sending salawat on him." Prophet says that dead angel, no more lesson, in other words, no more lesson. He is standing up till the day of judgment and doing nothing but sending salawat on the Prophet.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It takes a lot of ghairat to stand up in front of the insult of the Holy Prophet, like Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullah alayhi did. Takes a lot of ghairat. Some of the people are bighairat, faqidin al-ghaira. If you are bighairat, everything is okay. Everything is halal. Everything is halal if you are bighairat. It's about those who have ghairat. Rasulullah has said in his hadith, "Argham Allahu anfa man la yaghar." May Allah rub the nose of that person who doesn't have ghairat. Sadaqa Rasulullah. Certainly he said the truth and nothing but the truth. Some people are really bighairat. For them everything is okay, everything is justifiable. Because they have bighairati. So, Prophet saw an angel fallen on the earth. From there, Prophet saw an angel fallen on earth without the wings. He's rahmatan lil alameen. Mercy for all the dwellers of all the worlds. Islam believes, our beautiful religion believes, there are so many several worlds before coming into the life into this world, and several worlds during the life of this world, and several worlds after the end of the life in this world. The people worshipping this dunya think that the life in this world is the only life, isn't it right? That's it. They're stuck into this world. So Prophet is the mercy for all the dwellers of all the worlds. He cannot tolerate even an angel like this. He asked Jibreel, is there a tawbah for that angel? Allah sent him to, you know, to execute certain command of Allah. He delayed. Angels are infallible. They don't do sins. But he delayed that tarkul awla, something that was better be avoided, but he did not avoid. He delayed in the execution of the command of Allah. So that his wings was lost, burnt down. Prophet said to Jibreel, is there a tawbah for that angel? Jibreel said, let me ask Allah. You find some people in our communities, generally speaking, they end up speaking up about subjects that they don't even know. Is that right? They haven't studied anywhere, but they end up expressing their opinion as if they're Allamatul Dahr. Pulling the legs of the Maraje, Fuqaha, Samahatul Wali al-Faqir, Islamic leader. Isn't it right? Because we think we have more knowledge. Jibreel Sayyid al-Malaika says, let me ask Allah before replying back to the Prophet. Imam Ali says that, La tuhaddith bima la ta'lam. Don't speak about what you don't know. And then Imam Ali says, بَلْ لَا تُحَدِّثْ بِكُلِّ مَا تَعْلَمْ. Instead, don't know all that you know. That means we need to pick and choose. We cannot tell everything to everybody. Isn't it right? What Prophet used to talk to Salman, he never used to talk to Abu Dharr. What he used to talk to Abu Dharr, he never used to talk to Miqdad ibn al-Aswad al-Kindi, who belongs to the 8th level of Iman. They used to pick and choose according to the audience. So, Jibreel asked Allah first, and then Allah said to Jibreel, and Jibreel said to the Prophet, that the tawbah of this angel is to send salawat on you 10 times. And he sent the salawat on the Prophet 10 times, and he regained the wings back. And there was a huge celebration taking place on the heavens. That what a great messenger our Prophet is, that sending salawat on him 10 times makes the tarkul awla, the fault of an angel, forgiven. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is the highness of the Holy Prophet. So Prophet was there, his head was in the lap of Hazrat Khadija salamullahi alayha, and she says, I was looking at the face of the Prophet, and it was better than the full moon, 1,000 times better than the full moon. The brilliance, illumination of the face was 1,000 times better than the full moon. And she, you know, spontaneously, she said the sentence, Al-waylu liman la yaraka yawm al-qiyamah. Death to the person who could not see you on the Day of Judgment. That means the person who could not even end up seeing the beautiful face of the Holy Prophet on the Day of Judgment deserves to die. And she said that sentence, and she ended up in tears, and her tear fell over the face of the Prophet. Prophet opens up the eyes and asks his beloved wife, and she told the whole story, that I saw you look at your face and I said that sentence. Prophet said, do you know who is going to be unable to see my face on the Day of Judgment? And then Prophet describes the first person who is unable to see the face. See, if you are unable to see the face of the Prophet, what does it mean? What does it imply to our everyday life? How can we seek shafa'at and intercession from the Prophet when we are even unable to see his face? Forget about the shafa'at when we are even unable to see him. Isn't that right? Who is unable to see the face of the Prophet? Prophet is telling to Hazrat Khadija salamullahi alayha that the one who hears my name and does not send salawat on me.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And then the Prophet says, there's someone who drinks alcohol, khamr, alcohol, and dies away from this world without doing tawbah. This kind of person is we learned, is not going to even see the face of the beautiful face of the Prophet on the Day of Judgment. Impossible. Alhamdulillah, Allah has certain principles. Alhamdulillah. We are Islam is a package of values. So, if you compromise on your principles, you are spiritually dead. Mayyatul Ahya. How our scholars say. So, the third person who is unable to see the face of the Prophet on the Day of Judgment is the one who has his parents, but he has, you know, saddened his parents and become aq and disowned by the parents. He's going to be unable to see even the face of Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment. Forget about the shafa'at when somebody is not able to see the face. The parents don't need to, brothers and sisters, they don't need to come up and say with a notarized letter, attested by some sort of attorney, certified attorney or something, that, hey my son, now onwards I announce and proclaim that you are aq and disowned from me. No, they don't need to do that. Our scholars and mujtahideen say, as soon as a son or daughter misbehaves, yells, screams, you know, or saddens them, breaks their heart, disobey them, you automatically become aq and disowned. So Rasulullah has said in his hadith, awwalu ma kutiba ala Allah, the first thing that was written over the slate. We are talking about the divine slate. The first thing that was written on the divine slate, Prophet says, anallahu la ilaha illa ana, I am the Lord, worthy of worshipping. No one is worthy of worshipping other than me. In other words, and man radiya anhu walidahu fa ana anhu radin. Whomsoever's parents are radi and pleased with him, I am radi and pleased with him. Wa man sakhita alayhi walidahu fa ana anhu sakhit. Whomsoever's parents are displeased, angry upon him, I am angry upon him. This is the statement number one written on the divine slate by Allah. This is very important. So we find that the ayat of Quran, which I recited in the beginning, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Definitely Allah has chosen Adam and Nuh and the family of Ibrahim, ala Ibrahim, wa ala Imrana, and the family of Imran over the Alameen. Now there is an elaborate discussion among the scholars of tafsir from the Sunni brothers and the Shias. And as far as ala Ibrahim goes, everyone agrees, it's a matter of consensus. Ala Ibrahim is the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. No controversy on that. As far as ala Imran goes, there is the controversy. Some of the Mufassirin say ala Imran is Prophet Musa and Harun because their father was Imran. Hassan al-Basri says Ala Imran is Prophet Isa alayhi salam because he's the son of Maryam and Maryam's father was Imran. So Isa is Ala Imran. Whereas the tafsir from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam says that Imran is the name of Abu Talib alayhi salam and Ala Imran is Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And Rasulullah has said in his hadith, Ma balu qawmin idha zukira alu Ibrahima istabsharu. What's the problem with the people? When Al Ibrahim, the family of Ibrahim are mentioned, they get happy. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ آلُ عِمْرَانَ, and when the family of Imran are mentioned, إِشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts show hate and anger. فَالَّذِي بَعْثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ, I swear with that means with Allah who sent me with haqq. لو أن الرجل, if a person, that's the مضمون الرواية, if a person meets Allah بعمل سبعين نبيا with the actions of 70 prophets combined, is not going to benefit him حتى يلقاه بولايتي وولاية أهل بيتي ومودتي ومودة أهل بيتي, until he meets Allah with my ولايت and the ولايت of my أهل البيت and my مودة and love and the love of my أهل البيت. This is the status of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If you want to get close to the Holy Prophet, you have to get close to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That's the only gateway towards the Prophet. And we find that Rasulullah says in his munajat towards Allah, Ilahi istafayta Adama wa karramtahu wa takhasta Ibrahima خليلا وجعلت وكلمت موسى تكليما وجعلت عيسى روحا. Oh my Lord, you chose Adam and honored him, and you chose Ibrahim to be a friend, and you talked to Musa, and you made Isa to be a spirit. And Allah replies back to the Prophet that استفيت آدم لأنك كنت من في صلبه. I talked to Adam because you were in his lineage. واتخذت إبراهيم خليلا, and I chose Ibrahim as a friend because لأنك كنت من نسله, because you were in his lineage. وكلمت موسى تكليما, and I talked to Musa بذكر صنعوتك وصفاتك, because Musa used to talk about your attributes. وجعلت عيسى روحا, and I made عيسى to be a spirit لتبشير الخلق بسرعة ظهورك, because he gave the بشارت and the glad tidings about your speedy arrival. Please say salawat. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end to provide all of us the tawfiq to understand and to learn and to practice the ma'arif, the high level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wakhdhul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin, Allahumma ansur man nasara al-Din, wakhdhul man khadhal al-Muslimin, Allahumma ansur wahfadh wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin, wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin, la sayyim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin, اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى, وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان, واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read this short ziyarat of Rasulullah all together. I request all of you. Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alayka ya Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Assalamu alayka ya khiyarat Allah. Assalamu alayka يا حبيب الله. السلام عليك يا صفة الله. السلام عليك يا أمين الله. أشهد أنك رسول الله, وأشهد أنك محمد بن عبد الله, وأشهد أنك قد نصحت لأمتك وجاهدت في سبيل ربك وعبدته حتى أتاك اليقين. ف فجزاكاللہ یا رسول اللہ افضل ما جزا نبیا عن امته اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد افضل ما صليت على ابراهيم وآل ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.